winter clothes to the summer closet. And Brent, he called me old, basically, and said only old people do that.
No, no, no. I said, you have more than one closet? What is this magic?
Yeah, yeah. And then I think you said it must be an old person thing. Yes. Okay.
Yes, I did.
Something like that. Yeah. Glad you're here this morning. Are you ready to worship?
Amen.
Well, welcome to our service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are good. And even though you're managing the entire universe, you love us. You're mindful of us. You care what happens to us. Jesus, I'm reminded of your words, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. So Lord, would you give us rest today? When we crawl up in your lap and worship you, may we lift high the name that is above every name, Jesus. It's in that name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, let's worship.
As he said, it is a good morning to be in the church. So let's do exactly what he said. Join us in worship.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice to the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, it's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, if you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of the day in the dead of night. Ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you feel it, somebody testify.
Chain breaker.
So Jeff has already kind of ruined it. I was going to say it again, but this is, I got corrected by like five people after early service and was like, it is an old thing because all your kids move out of the house and then you have more closets. So, but with that, it is one of those things that, whether it's cold, I don't know if you are like, yay, cold weather. I'm personally a cold weather fan. So when it was 37 this morning, I was like, woohoo. Or if you're like 115 degrees outside and you're like, this is awesome. I don't know who you are or if you need prayer, but I guess there's a special group of people for that too. But with that being said, you can also take light and take comfort in the fact that God is a God of changing seasons. God is a God of changing hearts. God is a God of changing emotions. And God can do and change anything because God is God. And so with that, as we come to Palm Sunday and Easter over the next couple weeks, we celebrate the fact that not only does God change things, that he has power and he has authority because he lives. So let's sing about it.
God sent his son.
Because he
prayer for just 1 minute, please.
All right, we have a new member this morning. Woohoo! Deborah, you want to bring your crew with you, the peeps? They don't have to. If they want to come with you, they can. Come on up, Deborah. One brave grandson. Grandsons are awesome, huh? This is Deborah Ruster. She, if y'all just come right down there, I'm going to come down to join you. Deborah comes to join our church this morning. She, we go way back, don't we?
Way back.
Yeah, I went to high school with her sister and brother, both. And Deborah's been coming to our church for a few months. And she, I don't want to speak for her, but I think she loves our church.
Love this church.
Yeah, and we're so glad to have you. So, so Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I feel like I'm in y'all's way. Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You've already confessed Him as Lord and Savior. You've been baptized in that faith. We receive that. So I just ask you again to reaffirm, is Jesus still your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes, I
will. Amen. We welcome you. We welcome the brave grandson, too. You guys go ahead and sit and make sure Deborah gets greeted before she leaves today. Isn't God good? God's just good. It's good to add to our fellowship. If children will come forward now and join Miss Teresa for the children's message.
Welcome, welcome. I'm always so excited to be up here with all of you. All right, my first question today is, do you have anything that you would call valuable? What is valuable to you?
My family.
Your family. Is there any other thing you can think of that's valuable?
God and Jesus.
Glass.
Glass.
Glass, yes, we use glass for a lot of things. It's true, we often think of valuable things as expensive things, cars or jewelry or an expensive toy or an expensive bicycle.
Expensive iPad.
Those we often consider valuable items, but there's also value because I value these buttons. I brought two buttons to show you that I value. And you wouldn't think buttons would have value. But these tiny two buttons have value because my grandmother was a woman who collected buttons. And one day when I was, I don't know, an older teenager, maybe college years, she showed me her top tier buttons, because there were tiers to these buttons, the top tier buttons that she had put on cardboard and had displayed out. And I was told to choose two of them. And she was going to have earring posts put in back, and I could wear them as earrings. The posts have come out, but I have kept these buttons because I value them, and their value is the fact that my grandma cherished these buttons, and then she gave them to me. So the value is a personal value. And so value can be spoken of in more than one way. So my question to you is, how do we show Jesus, the Son of God, what can we give him a present that would have something that we would say would be of value? And so I am going to tell you how there was a woman told about to us in the Bible who did give Jesus a present, and Jesus did value it. And what it was at Lazarus' house. Jesus was having dinner with Lazarus, as well as the 12 disciples. And Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were all there to eat. Well, Mary has this desire, and she goes and she runs and she grabs a bottle of an oil perfume that was very, very expensive, poured it on Jesus' feet, and then cleaned Jesus' feet with her hair, with that oil. Now that was odd even for that day and time to do this, because that oil was expensive. It cost a whole year's of salary, 1 year's worth of work, and so it would take multiple years to build that much up because it was that expensive. And then people used that oil to put on the bodies before they put them in the tomb when they died. So this oil was valuable. So one of the 12 disciples, Judas, was like, "Hey, Mary, that wasn't too smart. You could have just given us that bottle and we could have sold it and bought some food for the poor." But Jesus disagreed. He valued what Mary had done, and he said, "No, what she had done was beautiful because it was a gift from the heart, and he knew he was going to die soon, and so she was already preparing him for his death." So let's go back and think about how we can give gifts, what kind of gifts we can give. You already have an idea, Benjamin? Love. Love is one. And we give love as a gift to Jesus by loving others, right? All the way, including and especially up to our enemies, the people we don't even like. That is a gift. You have another thought?
Dogs.
Dogs? Well, I don't know how you'd give Jesus a dog, but sure.
Kindness.
So yes, that would be maybe your time. I put that under your time. You have your time to give. You can give time to other people to do things. When you're giving your time to help mom and dad or show kindness to someone, when you are doing those types of thing that takes up your time, time is a good way to show Jesus. What do you have? You can believe and have faith. So that's in your heart, right? What ways can in your heart you give to Jesus? Maybe you spend time with him praying and making a closer relationship with him through prayers or through reading his Bible and hearing his word. And you're just creating that close bond because he's your best friend.
Trusting him.
Trusting him, I put that in the same with heart and faith, yes.
Baptized.
Being baptized, that's an outward sign of expression. Say, "I believe you and I trust you." That's a good one, too. Your talents. God has given each one of you talents. Some of you may be leaders. Some of you may be really good about telling other people about Jesus and who he is. You might be good at worship and singing. You're going to be good at something. Maybe you're good at giving, because that's another way to show God that you love him, through your tithes, through giving back to him and supporting his kingdom work. So these are all ways that you can show Jesus and give gifts to Jesus every day. I love it. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, you are more valuable than anything else. Please help us to honor and value you. We offer you all of who we are. Help us to serve and honor you in our daily work. And thank you for loving us. And we thank as we love you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. In your most holy name, amen.
Amen. I'm so excited for
that. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. I want to encourage you to check into this service through the app. Several things coming up I want to touch on real quickly. This afternoon at 1:30 in the Fellowship Hall, the Ministry Threads of the Heart will be meeting. So if you have a desire to serve the body of Christ through sewing, knitting, crocheting, quilting, I'm sure there's other things you can do with fabric. I'm a guy, so I don't know. My knowledge is limited. But if you'd like to be part of this new ministry, again, meeting at 1:30 this afternoon in the Fellowship Hall, and if you'd park on this end of the building, that would be helpful. That way we'd only need to unlock this one door. So that's at 1:30. Or if you have a desire to learn one of those skill sets, you can come as well. Our last Wednesday night meal is this Wednesday. Our last Wednesday night ministry night is this Wednesday. We'll pick back up after Vacation Bible School. Palm Sunday next Sunday. Have our early and our late service. No Sunday school, but we will have our brunch at 9:45. Egg hunt at 10. Living Last Supper is the 16th and 18th. That's a Wednesday and a Friday at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Easter Sunday, early and late service again with no Sunday school and a brunch beginning at 9:45 as well. Let's stand, if you're able, and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So I don't know how many of us may have taken time just to be still before the Lord over the last few days, few weeks, a few months maybe. I want to take that opportunity this morning to allow everyone just to get before the Lord and just be still. Be still. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. And so in the midst of all the noise, all the chaos, the voices that are coming at us on a daily basis, God would love to speak to us. And more times than not, that's going to come as a still, small voice. So we have to be still. I think we need to listen in order to understand what he is saying to us. So take about a minute or so to do this, 2 minutes, and then I'll pray for us. Father, in the midst of silence, would you speak? Would you give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would have us receive this morning? Father, would you speak to our hearts about how you feel about us individually? Father, every one of us in this room was created for a purpose. We were fearfully and wonderfully made by you. And God, you have a perspective of us that sometimes is different than the perspective we have of ourselves. So Lord, communicate to us how you feel about us, how precious we are to you, how much you love us, even in the midst of our failures. Father, I pray for those people this morning that are struggling with their self-worth. God, I just pray for a holy visitation of the truth and the reality of who they are in you. Father, I pray against the lies of our culture that would say things, anything contrary to what you say about us. Speak, O Lord, to us this morning. Father, I pray for those this morning that need encouragement, those that are just maybe tired physically, spiritually, emotionally tired. Father, I pray that you supernaturally energize them for your glory. Oh, Lord, we love you, we trust you, we praise you. You alone are worthy of our praise. Lord Jesus, we adore you. The one seated at the right hand of the Father, we adore you. You always live to make intercession for us. We praise you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We praise you for your ministry in our lives. And we love you. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. You can give electronically. You can also place an offering in the boxes by the doors. If you have a prayer need this morning, you could submit one of those electronically through our app, or you can fill out a prayer card in the chair pocket in front of you, drop that in the offering boxes as well. Marvin, Diane, Gregory are our prayer people for this morning. They would love to pray for you if you have any. Let's continue to worship the Lord.
The Sparrow, and I know.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered. My God is mighty to save.
Good morning again, church. Do you think the Holy Spirit's here with us? I believe he is. If you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad you're worshiping with us. We know you could be anywhere, but you've chosen to come and worship with us, and we are thankful for that. If you are a guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I would love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer, have a free gift for our guests, and would love to meet you. A couple of announcements before we dive into the sermon. Last week, I gave the awesome news that we have had a family that has announced that they want to match the gifts this year, beginning last Sunday, the gifts this year for our capital fund drive up to $500,000. That's a woohoo! That's a woohoo. So just last Sunday, I made that announcement. Nobody really knew that was coming, and we brought in around $12,000 last week towards the capital fund drive, and guess what? That is now $24,000. I got a C plus in math, so I can do that much. So the challenge is for this year and beginning last Sunday, and we hope to take advantage of that full $500,000. The Lord is moving in our midst, so we want to keep that going. Also, take out in front of your seat. There's a card. It says, come join us. That's new. You probably hadn't seen that before. This is on the back side there. It has the details for our Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday services and what's going on. And here's the challenge to you. The challenge is to take one or more of those, take as many as you want, and at least one, and find someone the Lord has placed on your heart to invite to church the next couple of weeks. And I know many of you are kind of, all of a sudden the fear is raising up, fear level is raising up. You know, it's not to guilt anybody, but you know, our Lord hung on a cross for us. And we can certainly overcome the little bit of anxiety we have with that. So I've got two neighbors that Cheryl and I have talked about passing these to. And, you know, there's a lot of good churches in this city, but I know when someone comes here, they're going to be loved on behalf of Christ. And so it's not about building our numbers or growing or any of those kinds of things. It's about sharing the love of Jesus, that we have it, and we can share it. And so I encourage you to take one or more of these and ask the Lord, who would you have me invite to church, and give them this card. When you do that. Okay. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 13. Now, I was telling the early service, I love all of God's Word. All of God's Word is the inspired Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's all good. But there's just something, I just love reading the red letters of Jesus. Don't you? That's what we're going to read today. John 13, beginning in verse 34. Jesus said these words, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And you see that word must? It wasn't like you can or should. It's must. "By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." Skipping over to John chapter 15, more words from Jesus. "As the Father has loved me," Jesus said, "so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Did you know the love of Christ provides love? And joy. "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Not only welcome, but we yearn for you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak. Speak to us the only way you know how to speak, and that's in power and authority. Change us, transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was telling early service that through worship in the early service, I've planned on doing a four-week series here, and I just started to get some, I don't know, maybe new direction. We'll see where we go from this week, but we'll see what the Lord has in mind. But planning on starting a sermon series, Greater Love, and we will start that today, Greater Love, and today's message is No Greater Love. No Greater Love. So there's three components or qualities of this love that Jesus has demonstrated for us that I want us to talk about today. The first is the greater love of Jesus is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said, that he lay down his life for his friends. Loving on behalf of Christ is not always easy. Sometimes it's costly. In many ways that it's costly. The world tells us that love should be easy. It should make us feel good. It should serve us. But Jesus' love, the greater love of Jesus, is costly. He gave up everything on our behalf. I was telling earlier, sir, Cheryl and I, we're kind of out of the loop, the cultural loop. There's all these new singers and stuff. You know, if we were to watch one of these award shows, we'd both look at each other going, who is that? But there's one, I don't even remember her name. There was a supposed to be one of the latest and greatest female artists she's 29 years old, and you may know who, someone in the early service told me who it was. I can't even remember her name now. But anyway, so she said she was being interviewed, and she said, and she's 29, and thinks she has the world by his tail, and she said, I'm not going to have kids, because all the people I know that have kids, they're just miserable. And one of the commentators that was commentating on that statement, he said, she doesn't get it. It's not about you. And I hope my kids don't take offense to this. We love our grandkids dearly. We love our grandkids dearly. But when we know they're coming over, Cheryl and I, we buckle our seatbelt. Any other grandparents in the house? Now, it's like you kind of go, well, you know this peace and quiet we're having right now? We got 2 minutes, and it's gone. But we love our grandkids. And it's not about us. We want to share love with our grandkids. But our world tells us that we're consumers of love. But the love of Jesus is sacrificial. It's a giving love. It's not a receiving love, even though that's a wonderful thing to receive, because we have certainly received from Jesus. To love as Jesus loved means setting aside our own desires, plans, comforts, so on and so forth, for the sake of others. It's a sacrificial love. It means choosing patience when we're frustrated, forgiveness when we've been wronged. These are hard things. Yes? These are hard things. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can love as Jesus loved. It's easy to love when it's convenient, when we receive something in return, but the love of Christ calls us to a higher standard. The love of Jesus, Jesus' sacrificial love redefined love itself. And he's calling on us to love like that. Secondly, the greater love of Jesus is intentional. It's intentional. It's in other words, We need to have a plan to how we're going to love, not just the consumers. Stephen Covey, I've mentioned his book before. It's an older book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and it's and it's he talks about this this concept of love as a verb. It's there's action to it. It's not being a consumer, but it's action. Love doesn't happen. This kind of love doesn't happen by accident. It's not a flippant feeling that comes and goes depending on our circumstances. It's an intentional action to love. Jesus showed us so clearly, not only with what he did on the cross, but even in the many of the miracles and the stories of Jesus, we just on and on, you can see this intentional love. He crossed cultural barriers to talk to this Samaritan woman that the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies. They didn't like each other at all. They didn't speak to each other. So Jesus speaks to this Samaritan woman. In fact, he has a plan. He sends the other disciples. He sends them away. Hey, go. We're probably all getting a little hungry. Go find us some food. And he wants to have this moment with this Samaritan woman who's been divorced multiple times, who's living with another man, and who's her reply is, "Why are you even talking to me? You're a Jew. You're not even supposed to talk to me. And yet Jesus rattled her world. He forever altered her world because he loved. The miracle of Jesus healing the bleeding woman, I love this. It's the miracle on the way to a miracle. And I related to this in that Jesus is on his way because someone is sick and dying, and he's on his way to heal them. And as he's on his way, this woman who has been bleeding and has the faith touches his robe, and Jesus, I don't know why, I was just thinking, you know, it'd be so easy to go, I know you got an issue, but I've got something else to do. I'm on my way to do something else. And it's ministry. I'm on my way to do ministry, but Jesus stopped and healed this woman, changed her life. The love of Jesus is intentional. He washed the disciples' feet, and I love a few years ago just kind of rereading that scripture and realizing that Jesus washed Judas's feet, and just a moment later said, "One of you is going to betray me." He already knew who was going to betray him, and yet he washed his feet. Jesus, the greater love of Jesus is intentional. He had a plan. And then, before I move on, let me just make this statement. I think this is important. Love, the greater love of Jesus, is meant to be the defining mark of his followers. If we, the passage that by this, by love, all men will know that you're my disciples. You want people to know that you're a disciple of the King of Kings? We need to love well. It is the defining mark of the followers of Jesus Christ. If we don't love, I say it all the time that there's what I call freeze-dried Christians. Anybody ever met a freeze-dried Christian? Where it's just, you know, do this, don't do that. Well, you're not doing that the right way. You're not singing the right thing. That's too loud, too fast, too this or whatever. And just seem angry. And not just in worship, but just in life. It's like just got a frown on their face. And yet would tell you they're a Christian. I'm like, man, freeze-dried Christians don't attract anyone to the King of Kings. Loving Christians, greater love, that's what attracts people to Christ. Thirdly, the greater love of Jesus is transformational. When we, I don't know about you, anybody, well, let me just say this. Anybody been transformed by the love of Jesus in here? You know, for me, and you've heard my story if you've been here, but to me, and Mom and Dad did everything right. They had me in church. They raised me. They showed me by example what it meant. But somehow for 30 years, I just thought you were supposed to just be a good person. But when I encountered Jesus, when I understood what he had done for me, it changed everything. it changed me. And that was 35 whatever years ago. It's a long time. But the change is still there. I'm not a perfect person, but I was transformed. If anyone in Christ, Scripture tells us he's a new creation. Christ, the love of Christ, it transforms us. And he's called us to share that. Love changes things. It doesn't leave people the same way they are. And I think this was Billy Graham that had a quote, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but basically I think he said that God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. The love of Christ is transformational. There's this church. I'm humbled to be a part of this church. I mean that with all my heart. I'm humbled. You guys love well. You love well, and I'm really honored and blown away to be able to tell people that I pastored this church. I'm going to give five examples. There's so many. I've been here a long time, and there's so many that I could list, but I just pulled out five examples of the greater love of Christ that's been demonstrated by this church over the last few years, and some of them very recent and some of them a while back. The first one is many of you were here 22 years ago, Granny's house. I will forever be grateful for what you guys did for Granny. Granny was a 91-year-old lady, and I went to my friend Mark Hewitt with Love and Care Ministries, and I said, "Man, we want to do some home repair for some people. Who do you have? Somebody?" And he hooked me up with Granny, and we went to see her house, and it was, I'll try not to be as gross as I could be, but it was just nasty. She lived in squalor. The plumbing under it was a pier and beam, and there was plumbing underneath that leaked. And so, I'm sorry, this is kind of gross, but I just want you to understand what Granny was living in. They would use the commode for several days with the water off, and then they would go turn the water on out at the street where they had water, and they'd flush, and some of it would empty under the house, and they'd go turn the water back off until they needed it again. It was awful. The floor you walk and it's sagging into the floor and all this stuff. So we built Granny a house and did that through our church and raised the money in one Sunday to do that. And go ahead and go to that next slide there. That's the Sunday that Granny came. She was about that tall. You can see it there. And that's Mark Hewitt behind her, and that's some young dude with black hair there, some black hair on the side. And Granny came, and I remember she had that ball cap on, and she was a very shy lady. And I remember when we had her come up, and we prayed a prayer of blessing over her and presented her her key, and then went and had an open house. And she, when I would talk to her, she would pull her hat down in front of her because she was embarrassed. Granny lived in her house 3 years before she passed away. And we deeded that house to Love and Care Ministries so that when she passed away, it could be used in other ways to bless people. And I remember asking Granny, was she excited about her new house? And she did this. And I asked Mark, because she couldn't speak. Granny couldn't speak. And I asked Mark, what is she trying to communicate? He said, she's saying she'll be warm in her new home. She'll be warm. And then a few years later, Lake Stamford flooded, and we adopted a home there. Go ahead and show Bobby and Kathy Sanders, as you can see there. And we're circled up, fixing to pray for them. And they, their house flooded. And if this was the ceiling, the sheetrock ceiling in their home, water was about right here in their home before we got there. And so the whole house, we had to gut the whole house. And we came piling in. We told them we were coming, and we came piling up. We had two vans full of people, and a lot of people brought their own personal vehicles, and we just kind of coming up on them and touched them greatly. And we ended up gutting that inside of that house and redoing it. There were so many that did that. And the Sanders wrote this thank you. You probably won't be able to read that, but I'm going to read it to you. She wrote this thank you after we finished. She said, "Dear Wiley Methodist Church, a big hearty thank you to your church for giving unselfishly of your time, your materials, muscle power, effort, perspiration, and just plain hard work to the task of repairing our home. When Bobby's, and by the way, I didn't mention Bobby had cancer, had just had cancer surgery from before that picture. When Bobby's cancer surgery and the flood at Lake Stanford happened all at one time, we didn't know what we were going to do. Or when we might be able to begin rebuilding, but we trusted God. He answered our prayers when you adopted our house. Thank you for adopting us and putting wings on our prayers. When we saw you coming, we were encouraged. You inspired us with your teamwork. It was good to see the fun you had while your hands were busy at work. And what a beautiful job you have done. Well done. We appreciate you. Thanks a million times is not enough to say it. May God richly bless you in all the work you have done. In Jesus' name, Bobby and Kathy Sanders. What an honor to be the hands and feet of Jesus, church. What a blessing to have the gospel to share to people. And then that next one just happened about a month ago. This is Pastor D. His name is about this long, and he goes by Pastor D. And he pastors a church of primarily ministers to African refugees that come in. And I know some people have done some things with him and met him, a little over a month ago. And we were talking, and by the way, we have three vans, and when one of our vans gets about 15 years or so old, we kind of rotate one out and get a newer one in. And four different churches we've given vans to, our van that we're taking out of our rotation, we've given to smaller churches that can't afford a van four times. And so we had this one this time, and Naomi, where's Naomi? Naomi back there, our financial secretary. So Naomi and I were talking, and we were working through the committees and all that, and we were talking about, I wonder what church needs a van. And literally, probably a day or two later, I met Pastor D, and we're just talking. I'm asking him all kinds of questions about his ministry, and he said most of my members can't drive because they don't have a driver's license, so we have to go pick them all up. And he said, but we're praying that God will provide a van. And Naomi and I went, I'm thinking God may be talking to us here. So we went through all the committees and got it approved to give this gift, this van. It still had a lot of life in it. Gift this van. I asked Pastor D, I said, can you come over? I just want to visit with you about something. And he didn't know what was going on. And when he got there, I had him step outside and I handed him the keys. And I said, there's your van. And he wept. He wept over that van. God is so good, church. God is so good. And I want to talk to you two different scenarios. We have Houses for Healing Ministry that we come alongside them. We have 20 houses. There's one, the one on the right there is our first house that we built. We have two houses that we paid for and built and do have ministry teams that many of you probably in the room are part of that. We have a food team and a transportation team and a cleaning team and prayer teams and that minister. As someone comes into Abilene with needing medical care, maybe chemo or whatever for several weeks, them and or their family can stay in these tiny houses for no charge. And that is a glorious ministry that we have had the honor of being a part of. There's, I don't know, it's probably been two or three years ago, maybe three or four years ago, that Domingo and Margaret had cancer. They were from Stanford, and they were coming in for her cancer treatments, and they were staying at the tiny house while she was getting her treatment. And when she was there going through cancer treatment, they had a home in Stanford, and they had a special needs adult son that was in the home, and the home burned, and their son was in the fire and killed. And so she's battling cancer. She loses her son and her home. And this church, you guys, with the love of Jesus, we provided them a new home in Stanford. And I think I sit telling the early service, I think Domingo was excited about the home, and Margaret was excited about the stackable washer and dryers so that she didn't have to bend over to get her laundry out. She could do it eye level. Margaret was, they lived in that home a year and a half or so, and Margaret got cancer. Her cancer came back and she passed away. Domingo's still in that home. And so, man, they drove in on Sundays. They would drive in from Stanford to go to church with us. And I tried to hook them up with a church in Stanford so that they, a good church in Stanford that they could go to. They said, no, this is our church. This is our church. And they would drive in every Sunday until her health got where she couldn't. And then finally, I wanted to go to that next one, Lee. There in the middle in the blue shirt there laying down is Carol. Her son is in the red shirt there, and her sister there beside her. You know the stud there on the left. That's, by the way, nice knees there, stud. All the college students are going, really? That's what I have to look forward to? Is that? No, Billy, really. It looks good, man. They look good. Those legs are nice. So, but Carol was in our tiny house. Carol had cancer, and long story short, she lived in another town. I forget the town, but she was in cancer surgery. They were doing surgery, and her husband and daughter were driving to be with her after she got out of surgery, and her husband and daughter were killed in a vehicle accident on the way to see her. So she's struggling with cancer. When she comes out of the surgery, finds out that she's lost her husband and daughter. And through the love of our team and Billy sharing the gospel with her, Carol accepted Christ. That scene right there is right after Billy baptized her there in the tiny house. About 2 weeks later, Carol went to be with Jesus. You know, Carol's in heaven because of the outreach, the love of Jesus through this church. Even if you weren't there, you support it. Every time you drop a dollar bill in the box, you support it. So the love of Christ, this greater love, it's sacrificial, it's intentional, it's transformational. And in church, we have it. We have it to share. That's significant stuff. So I just ask you, who is God calling you to love in a way that brings lasting change? If you'll just bow your head with me. Lord, we confess that many times we fall short in loving as you've called us to love. Greater love that you've given us, that you've poured out on us. We struggle sometimes, Lord, with selfishness and impatience or fear. But today, this day, we ask for your help. We ask that you would help us to love well. Shape our hearts to reflect your sacrificial greater love. Teach us to love intentionally, with purpose, with a plan, to seek out those who are hurting, to extend grace where, even when it's undeserved, as it is with each one of us. Lord, we need you. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to love on your behalf. There's those this morning, Lord, right here perhaps in this room or worshiping online in their home that don't know that love that you've shared with them, you've given them. Would your Holy Spirit move in their life? Communicate so very clearly how you feel about them. We pray it in the holy, precious name of Jesus. Amen. I invite you to rise if you're able. The altar is always open. Again, there will be people to pray with you after the service. If you don't know Jesus, don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. God bless you.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.